Uriel Novello. Many of you know him because you've been at Faith Bible Church long enough to know him. I first met Uriel probably 7 years ago, 6 or 7 years ago, because he was transferring from a seminary that he was going to down, I think, in Arizona or somewhere, another state. Is there any other state that matters but California? Not really. So what does it matter? It was just another state, right? But no, I'm sorry. I'm just California grown. Sorry about that. But he was coming from another state. I think it was Arizona or Texas or somewhere else. And he was coming up to go to Master's Seminary. And he but he comes from Mexico. Uriel is from Mexico. His pastor, his father is a pastor from Mexico. And so he needed someone to basically vouch for him. He needed a job, and he also needed someone to kind of say, hey, he's going to be our guy, so keep him legal. Because otherwise he would have been here illegally if he didn't stay on this visa he had. And so we were at that time looking for a children's director. And so Uriel applied, and we got connected with him, and he sent some information for us, and we started looking into him, and the Lord providentially brought it about for him to come to Faith Bible Church. And so Uriel came, and he served here for probably a couple of years as our children's director. And he came as a single guy. He left as a married guy with, I think, one kid, something like that, or was about to have a child. And so we've known Uriel and loved him, and now his wife Patty and his kids for a number of years now. And so he was back here visiting. The last couple of years, he's been in a church up in Napa. He's been serving as an associate pastor to Spanish ministry up in Napa for the last couple of years. And he's been recently released from that church and came down here. He likes to tease me that I fired him several years ago. I really didn't fire him. I just kind of had to let him go. But I didn't do it. The church is together. We decided to do that. But he's now again in between positions, ministry positions. He's looking to go to a church in Texas. He'll probably tell us a little bit more about that. He has an exciting opportunity of ministry in Austin, Texas. And so we're looking forward to what the Lord's going to do, continue to do through Uriel and use him in his ministry. He's a very passionate Latino and loves to preach God's word and just be himself. And so he asked me if he could come use the pulpit. And the first time he asked, I thought he was kind of joking, so I ignored him. I ignore about 80 or 90% of what he says because he's always joking. But about 10% of what he says is serious. And so when he does say that 10% serious stuff, I listen and we talk and have some good discussion. So this morning, he's seriously going to bring the Word of God to us. And it's a joy to have him. So Uriel, go ahead and come on up here. He's going to bring the Word, and then I'll be leading the Lord's Supper a little bit later. So.
Okay, I just realized that I made a mistake because I didn't get the equipment. Is this sufficient sound? Okay. All right. You guys, I think I can walk around without that and just preach the word without it. It is an incredible privilege to me. It really is. Just to be here. Just try to ignore Chris, as handsome as he is, try to ignore him for a little bit. It is an incredible privilege for me to be here with you, men and women and children and just precious souls of the living God. Whoa, okay, so. Whoop. Where's the button for this to go now? No? Okay. You can utterly dismiss what George said about me joking 90% of the time, because that is not true. He doesn't know the percentages. But I know his intention was a good intention, because he's my good brother and I love him. In the grace of God, God brought us to the States. I'm hearing a little bit of an echo. Is that just me, or you guys get it well? Isn't? Okay, well. Right. In the Lord's providence, the Lord brought us to the States in 2005 to the city of Arizona. And since then, 6 years after that, I want you to, when you think of Uriel Novello, think of the goodness of the Lord and His abounding grace. Because I'm really standing here before you because of His grace, because of His kindness, because of His power, because of His unique ability that He has to change a man's heart. And that happened to me pursuing a life of, in my career, God put me to work in the Mexican stock market for 3 years, and then gave me a wonderful time there, a lot of fun things doing there, but then a deep dissatisfaction. And that deep dissatisfaction was also accompanied by a deep hunger for God. I know it was Him because He gave me a dissatisfaction for what I was doing and gave me a desire for Him. And I pray this will be the case this morning as God gives you an utter dissatisfaction for the state of where you are, but gives you a hunger and a desire and a passion for where He wants you to be. I am thankful to God for Faith Bible Church. You guys are special people in my heart because God used you through the agency of the elders and George to bring me over to California to pursue my studies in the Word of God. So Faith Bible Church, know this, will always have a special heart in Uriel Novello's heart and the Novello's family's heart. And we believe in the gospel work in Mexico one day. Another area in which George likes to tease me is, he just keeps bringing the question, when are you going to go back to Mexico? Because you said you were going to go back to Mexico. So hopefully we will do that soon. I am happy that I don't bring in much of a stumbling block to my brother George because I'm still legal, yes. So when I won't be legal, I will go back to Mexico and preach the gospel to all men with the power of God for the purposes of salvation. My whole point in this is I just want to express a gratitude to you as a congregation. And as I do this, I want to express gratitude to the Lord because the Lord used you. You still do not know to what extent. I still do not know to what extent for His glory in the gospel in Mexico, but I know the Lord will use us in Mexico. For now, He has made very clear that He is not done with us in the States, and He wants us to go to Austin, which we are super excited about because Austin is a church that reminds me a lot of Mexico City. It's a very liberal city. I'm sorry, the city of Austin, not the church. The city of Austin is a very liberal city. It's very appreciative of music and arts. And that's very much like my hometown in Mexico itself. We are going to go into a land that is very unlike the rest of Texas to preach, to announce, to declare, to witness that God has come to this earth to change everything. That is the gospel. I want you to open with me your Bibles in the book of Romans. And as you do so, I'm going to ask a couple of young men. I'm looking at Andy. He's so young. But I'm going to go for the three Poppins. Three Poppins. You guys want to come over here? Or two? How many do we have there? Two, that's fine. Please go to Romans chapter 1. And as you look for that passage in your Bibles, I'm just going to have these young men distribute a small flyer. Please do not pay attention to the flyer at all right now, not throughout the preaching of God's Word, but later. That just communicates the vision of what the Lord has impressed upon our hearts as far as multi-ethnic, multi-cultural, multilingual ministry. I think I have sufficient. I should have like 50 or something. So if you guys want to keep like one or two per family, that'll be great. I don't mind giving them all, obviously, but I just want everyone to get. Yes. And then we have some wonderful pictures of our family here. Yeah. All right. If you want to keep visual imagery of who we are, I appreciate your grace as we are just about to read God's holy word here and get our minds focused on this. The word of God says in Romans chapter 1. Paul, a bondservant of Christ Jesus, called as an apostle, set apart for the gospel of God, which he, this is God, promised beforehand through his prophets. He did it in the Holy Scriptures. And this promise was concerning his son, who was born of a descendant of David, according to the flesh, and who was this son declared the Son of God with power by the resurrection from the dead, according to the Spirit of holiness. This is Jesus Christ, our Lord, through whom we have received grace and apostleship to bring about the obedience of faith among all Gentiles for his name's sake. Among whom you also are the called of Jesus Christ. To all who are beloved of God in Rome, called as saints, grace to you, I desire, Paul says, and peace, this grace and the peace from God, who is our Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ. First, I thank my God, through Jesus Christ, for all of you. Because of your faith, it's being proclaimed, announced, declared throughout the whole world. What a church. For God, whom I serve in my spirit, and the preaching of the gospel of his Son, is my witness as to how unceasingly I have mentioned of you. I have made mention of you. Always. This is a pastor. A true pastor. In my prayers, making a request, if perhaps, now at last, by the will of God, I may succeed in coming to you. For I long to see you. I long to see you, so that I may impart some spiritual gift to you, that you may be established. Not only them, but also him, that is, that I may be also encouraged together with you while among you, each of us, by the one another's faith, both yours and mine. Paul was a man that certainly needed encouragement. I do not want you to be unaware, brethren, verse 13, that I often have planned to come to you and have been prevented so far, so that I may obtain some fruit among you also, even as among the rest of the Gentiles. I am under obligation both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the foolish. I am under obligation. So for my part, I am eager to preach the gospel to you also who are in Rome. And this is the reason why. For I am not ashamed. I am not ashamed of the gospel. For it is the power of God. This is the power of God for salvation. This is to everyone who believes, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. In the gospel, the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, for the righteous man shall live by faith. I pray. Pray, Bible, pray with me. Father God, I pray that you will help us today. My Father, who is able as a mortal man to bring your glories, the glorious
noose that you have bestowed upon men now by the command of Jesus, your Son, who is able, God. We are utterly unable unless your Spirit will speak to us, Lord. So I pray today that you will speak to us through your Spirit, God. That you will speak to us. And if you speak, God, we will be changed. We desire that, Lord. We desire that. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Change us. Amen. Change is a big word, isn't it? And it is a good word for many. Change, the word change, the prospect of change produces a great joy, a great hope. For others, it produces a fear, anxiety. I know one man, he used that word change as a motto for his presidential campaign. I don't know if you're aware of him, but he's now your president for the second term. You guys remember that motto? Change? You do? Have things changed? Some things. Yeah, and then we need to qualify that for good or for bad. I believe this is the point of this passage here in chapters and verse 16. We know this is a glorious passage. This is a famous passage. This is a well-known passage. We have memorized this passage. Verse 16 talks about the power of God that produces change. The change of our eternal destiny, our salvation, and the change of our present, the direction. Right? I want you, dear brothers, to take great hope this morning. Because if men had promised change and that has not happened. If you have not seen the change in your own personal life today that you would like to see, take hope. Because there is someone who can produce the change in you that you desperately need, that we all desperately long for. Isn't that what we long for as Christians? Do we want to change? Do we want to change? I would just imitate one of my professors in school and tell you, speak to me. Do we want to change? Amen. Right. We don't want to just keep going the same way and flow and just the same stuff. Same sins, same issues, same discussions, same problems, same irritations, same frustrations, same conflicts, same people, same Christians. There's one reason why Paul was not ashamed. And that reason was clearly explaining in verse 16. Look at it. Verse 16. I am not ashamed of the gospel. And this is the reason. Because this gospel, it's the power of God. And it's the power of God for salvation. That is the reason why Paul was not ashamed. Because he knew that the gospel produces change. An actual, effectual, effective, real change in people. Not only in their eternal destiny, but in their present affection. In their present dreams. In their present desires. In their present aspirations. In their current ways. In their today's thinking. In their today's living. It is the power of God, people of God. The gospel. It's the power of God. Because the gospel is God Himself. So today we're going to look into four reasons why to announce the miraculous gospel of God and not be ashamed. Four reasons why. This is very close to my heart today because we're going to Austin to just do one thing. Announce to the people that there is hope. Remember that precedent of yours that also used that word? See, those words are appealing to people, hope and change. But there is the one, only, and true God of the universe, who's Father of the Son, Jesus Christ, who can actually make that thing a reality, not just a promise. In fact, God is also a being of promises. He promises. We're going to look into that closely this morning. The only reason why we go to Austin is because we want to declare the hope of God. We want to tell people, people, there is hope to your circumstance. You know why? Because one day God chose to come down and to live among us and to change everything. To change us in our affections, to change us in the way we think, to change us in the way we aspire, to change us in the way we fight, to change us in the way we wrestle, to change us in the way we aspire, in the way we love, and the way we are also, of course, most importantly, in the way we are helplessly under the bondage of sin, under the bondage of error, under the bondage of mistake. Unless Christ comes and lives within the heart of someone because they believe that He is God Himself, unless people do that, that's why verse 16 says, to everyone, how does it read? Who believes. Unless people believe that it's God Himself who came down from heaven, who desires to dwell within us and change everything, people will not have hope. People will not change. We desire as Christians to change every day, don't we? The power that we necessitate to change, it's in God. It's in Christ Jesus. It's in Him. It's in us, not only be mindful that He came once upon a time, like my son likes to say when he's reading a book, once upon a time, back in history, but He can come today and live within your heart and change you and be your Lord and your Master. Three reasons why we preach the gospel. Three reasons why to announce the miraculous gospel of God and not be ashamed. First of all, we announce the gospel of Jesus Christ because it is the power of God. Let me start from the bottom and go all the way to the top. We preach the gospel because it is the power of God. It is the dynamite of God. This is the word and dynamis. And the Greek, where we take our English word, you know this, dynamite. So what does the dynamite do to things when it's actually kindled, put into work? What do we use dynamite for? Explosions, right? We want to get rid of things, right? Boom! That is precisely what Christ wants to do with you and with me. He wants to completely break our pride, break our affections, or our current affections, our current plans, and install within ourselves His presence and His precious and His glorious being, His own persona. I can never dream of the U.S. government being ashamed of their military power, right? In fact, those great nations that have great military power are the opposite, not ashamed, but proud, right? They're just happy about it. You know, we've got the guns with us. Why is it that we as Christians become ashamed then if we believe truly that the gospel is the power of God? I think the answer lies in the word change. When someone has not seen a change in his own personal life in such a way as the gospel claims that God would produce, when we don't see change in our lives, we are just ashamed, aren't we? But there's still hope, because God can still change us today. So we can be ashamed of our testimony. We can be ashamed of the lack of change in our own personal lives. Then we cannot be ashamed of the actual, effectual, effective power of God that can change everything. I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation. I want you to look at me, if you will. Mark chapter 9. Verse 23. Go to verse 14. When they came back to the disciples, this is the Lord Jesus referring to how this power is unleashed. Verse 14, when they came back to the disciples, they saw a large crowd around them and some scribes arguing with them. Immediately, the entire crowd saw him. And they were amazed and began running up to greet him. And he asked them, What are you discussing with them? And the one of the crowd answered him, Teacher, I brought you my son, possessed with an evil spirit which makes him mute. This is a powerful force that keeps him under bondage, mute, sick. It's an utter bondage. Helpless, and whenever it seizes him, it slams him to the ground, and he foams at the mouth and grins his teeth and stiffens out. I told your disciples to cast it out, and they could not do it. And he answered them and said, Oh, unbelieving generation. Notice, what did he say? Oh, unbelieving generation. How shall long I be with you? How long shall I be with you? How long shall I put up with you? Bring it to me. He brought the boy to him. When he saw him immediately, the spirit threw him into a convulsion, and falling to the ground, he began rolling around and foaming at the mouth. And he asked his father, How long has this been happening to him? And he said, the father, from childhood, it has often thrown him both into the fire and into the water to destroy him. But if you can do anything, take pity on us and help us. And Jesus said to him, If you can, that was your question. All things are possible to him. Who believes? So, dear brothers, O Church of God, dear Faith Bible Church, the power of God to produce change in your heart and in the hearts of those that you love, and it's available, and the mercy and the grace of God, but only at the request of God for us to believe. Do not be ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God for those who believe. Jesus Christ, as you announce them to people and tell them, God has descended from heaven to give you hope, and that did happen indeed, and He can change you as He is changing me. And if you can believe in that message, as He came down the cross to this world to give His life in payment for all of our debt, to pay all of our bill, to change all of our evil ways, to wash us from all iniquity, to forgive us from all shame, to set us free from the bondage. If you keep announcing that message, and people, by the grace of God, are granted the gift of faith, and they believe, they will be changed. Just as much, we will continue to be changed by the power of the Holy Spirit today as Christians. Do you believe that God can still change you today? Do you desire to be changed by God? I'll tell you, I hate so many things about myself. So much things about myself. I just, God wants to change me. And I believe God can do that. Because there's a way in which God makes those things. That is through Christ His Son. He does it by taking all my unrighteousness, all my error, imputing my error to His Son, and taking His Son's righteousness and giving it to me. And then He changed me. Changes my affections. Starts with the heart. My thought life. My aspirations. My dreams. He changes even the direction of where I have set my life. I wanted to make a lot of money back in Mexico, and He just gave me a dissatisfaction for that. Show me the vanity
and the great stupidity of those that love money. Excuse my French. God can change you, man, you, woman, you, brother, you, dear sister. If you are even a young man or young lady and you have not been able to change, there is hope. Just as one man once wrote and said, I'm not ashamed of this message because it is the power of God. What is the message? I think I can rehearse it with you, but you know it well. The Christ came, God Himself, down to this earth to give His life as ransom of many, died, was partially defeated, but then in resurrection, He conquered death. The very ultimate power, the very ultimate consequence of all of our sin. All of our sin causes death. Well, God, Christ Jesus, conquered that death. And He was pronounced the Son of God. Why to announce the miraculous gospel of God? Because it is the power of God. It is also, number two, the person of God. Go with me now to the top of the chapter there in verse 1. We are not ashamed of the gospel because it is not only the power of God, but it is the person of God. We cannot be ashamed of God Himself in person. Oh, brothers, how can we be ashamed of God Himself in person? Oh, that God will give us great grace and great courage to fight this fight in our minds and in our hearts, not to be ashamed and to speak the name of God forthly, because we believe He has got the power to change. The dynamis, the dynamite changes everything. But not only because it is the power of God, but because it is the person of God. Look at verse 1. Paul, how he describes himself, a bondservant of Jesus Christ, chose to give himself that title. I'm a servant. I'm a slave of Jesus. And now he's done elaborating, who is this Jesus? He could have said, as he probably have said on other occasions, I'm a servant, I'm a doula, I'm a bondservant of God. And everybody understands that. But he said, he chose to write here, by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, I'm a bondservant of Jesus Christ. I'm a called as one who's being sent, that means apostle, and I've been set apart for the gospel of God. Boom, makes that connection. He is a servant of Jesus Christ to preach the gospel of God. Put those two things together. Servant of Jesus Christ for the gospel of God. The gospel, it's really good news from the Father, correct? That He accomplished the life of the Son. So tell people out there, there is hope because God Himself in person came down to this earth to pay your ransom and to pay your bail. And if you could only humble yourself and believe, the power of God, it's unleashed and will be unleashed upon you, and you will be changed. And you'll have hope. And you'll have a new direction of life. Now, know that God is the one that operates this change, and He will change you into whatever He wants you to be. Right? If you will, that is a catch. He will change you by His power into what He wants you to be. Not into what you want to become. It is His power. It is His purpose. It is His plan. Why to announce the miraculous gospel of God? Notice that I just wrote it down right there. Qualified. It's a miraculous act. And not be ashamed because it is the power of God and it is also the person of God. When we say that it is the power of God, we mean that it refers to God's unique ability to pronounce someone forgiven. To God's unique authority to pronounce someone righteous. God's unique power to change someone's heart.
That's what we mean by power. Let's follow with me in the reading, verse 2, which he promised God beforehand through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures concerning his Son. Notice how Paul is going to unfold before us the Trinity in front of us. It's all about God and his Son and his Spirit, which he promised beforehand by his prophets in the Holy Scriptures concerning his Son, who was born of a descent of David according to the flesh, who was declared the Son of God with power, again, same word, by the resurrection from the dead, according to the Spirit of holiness, Jesus Christ our Lord. Right there, the gospel is being presented in another way, masterfully by Paul, spiritually, powerfully, inspired by the Spirit of God, saying, he has been declared the Son of God with power by the resurrection from the dead. And he was on a death place because he died for the sins of the world, because God sent him to die for the sins of this world, because the sins of this world, the errors of this world, will destroy and kill this world. Yes, the ultimate death. Separation. The ultimate, most important one is the spiritual one. Spiritual separation that no man will ever be able to endure the consequences by any means of comfort. There's no comfort that can be offered to a soul that is separated from God. Here on earth, more importantly, for eternity. There's no comfort. There's the opposite, punishment. Rightful punishment. Four reasons why we preach the gospel. It is the power of God. It is the person of God. Jesus Christ is God. The power of this gospel that we have just been talking here, meditating about. The power that Paul explains in verse 16. This power cannot be separated from the person. You understand that? So if someone desires the power of God in their lives, they should also desire the person. But that is not always the case. Because people don't want all the time to have God himself there, making the decisions for them. They want the power, they want the benefits, they want the change, they want the hope, but not the person. But God's power, it's really inseparable from his person. You understand that? My dear brother, when you experience, this means that when you experience the consequence of this, the truth then is that when you experience the power of God, you are really experiencing the acting of a person, the acting of a persona instead of you. When we say in the Christian world, in the evangelical world, that he gave his life to Christ, that is right. But it also means that God came to dwell inside of that person. The person of God will come to live within me. And not much has changed. Am I really believing in Jesus Christ? Do I really believe that his desire is to change my life completely? He was declared the Son of God with power by the resurrection from the dead according to the Spirit of holiness. Right there. Do you see the Trinity? The Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, Jesus Christ our Lord, through whom we have received grace and apostleship to bring about the obedience of faith. There's the element, faith again, among all the Gentiles for his name's sake. It is not only the power of God, the gospel, and the person of God, the gospel, but it is also the passion of God. This is the other reason why we preach the gospel. It is His power. It is His person. It is His persona. It is His passion. We announce the gospel because we believe that it effectually changes people, but because God Himself comes and lives within us and changes everything. Not only we are sealed by the power of His Spirit, but we are giving the most precious place of our being, which is our hearts and our minds. That's why it's so important. It makes all the logic of the world that the person who has given his life to Christ will also give his mind to Christ, meaning his eyes to Christ, because whatever you put through your eyes, it's what nourishes your mind. You see that connection? I want you to look at the passion of God. We preach the gospel among people, and we even want to do that in Austin, Texas, because we believe it is the passion of God. We believe it is His desire. Notice how Paul's desire here displayed in verse 8, it's also informative of God's personal desire. In fact, in other words, Paul had this desire to see the saints in Rome because God gave him this desire. Do you see the connection? Paul had such passion and such affection and such desire for the Romans because God gave him that desire. It is his desire. It is his passion. Notice at the pastoral heart of Paul. Notice at the passion of God overflowing through the words of Paul. First, the passion of God. First, I thank my God for Jesus Christ for you all because your faith is being proclaimed throughout the whole world. For God, whom I serve in my spirit and the preaching of the gospel of His Son, is my witness as to how unceasingly I make mention of you. Always in my prayers, making requests, if perhaps now at last, by the will of God, I may succeed in coming to you. For I long to see you, so that I may impart some spiritual gift to you, that you may be established. I, with all my heart, believe that these words are speaking to us by the hand of the Apostle Paul, or by his, we know that he had a secretary, correct? Wrote this letter by the hand of the secretary, but under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. In other words, Paul was full of the Holy Spirit, communicating this affection to them. This is the affection of a man that is being changed, that has been now giving a new affection, a new desire, a new passion. It is reflective of the passion of God. I long to see you, so that I may impart some spiritual gift to you, that I may be established. That is my heart's desire, really. I long to see the people of Austin. God is giving us such a precious connection already. Went to them a couple of weeks ago, preached once, and after that, it was just family. And we don't know why. But I do know why, because the Word of God produces change. It is the power of God. I preach the gospel to them, precious saints that already love the gospel. Same circumstance as the Romans, right? These are Christian people, already know the gospel, and Paul is eager to preach to them the gospel because he knows that in the gospel, the power of God is displayed. Because the person of God is displayed, and then it causes in that person a new passion, a new desire, a new affection. You see the transition? It is the power of God, because it is the person of God, and it causes in people a new passion, a new desire, a new affection, love for others. I'm sure George could speak in these very terms, your pastor, as Paul was speaking of the Romans. I long to see you. I desire to see you. You picture some of those Romans. Why does this guy desire so much? Why is he praying for us? He doesn't even know us. That much personally. Which was probably the case. Church of Rome, still a mystery about who really founded the Church of Rome. Some said that it was Jewish that flee from Jerusalem to Rome. Obviously, converted Jews, Messianic Jews, Jews that had placed their faith in Jesus Christ, transformed Jews, lovers of Yeshua. Others believe it was Peter. We don't know. Others say it was Paul. We don't know for sure. Here's Paul, a changed man. He has experienced a great deal of trials in Ephesus, persecution in Thessalonica, jail in Philippi, persecution in Ephesus, and he's still not ashamed of the gospel. Because he knows that the gospel is God himself who comes and dwells in the hearts of those men that humble themselves profoundly, that acknowledge their state of sinful crush, a deep necessity of utter dissatisfaction. Helpless. I cannot change. I cannot overcome this. I need you, God. Change me. I know. Where is this going to take me? I know. Where is my sin going to take me? It's going to lead me to the path of destruction. It has already done that. Who is the one that God changes? The one who believes, and I believe, the one who humbles himself. That has to be true. Otherwise, many would have changed already. God purposely does not change, does not effectually bestow his power upon people's life, his own person, because they remain prideful. How gracious that God, even though in my prideful state as well, gave me the gift of his power and his person and gave me a new passion. Why we announce the miraculous gospel of God? Because it is the power of God, it is the person of God, it is the passion of God, and it is also the promise of God. Do you like promises? Some say no, because people never fulfill their promises. I don't like promises. I've been many times in my life deceived. I like promises. But the promises that I like the most is those promises that God gives us, because I know that he will fulfill that promise. But in reality, we all like promises, don't we? In fact, Christian faith is all about a promise. He will one time redeem us at once. One day, he will finish, he will complete. He has promised that. You want to hang on to that promise? Amen. You better do. You better trust and believe in him, because he cannot fail. He will not fail his own glory. He will not fail to his own faithfulness. He will not fail to his great and glorious and holy and majestic name. It is the promise of God. Where did I get that? Verse 2. Which he promised. Isn't that cool? Beforehand, throughout his prophet and the Holy Spirit. What is that that he promised? Verse 1. Let's go back. Paul, bondservant of Jesus Christ, called as an apostle, set apart for the gospel of God. In other words, Paul is saying this to the Romans in his first verse. God has set me apart to go out into the entire world and announce his glorious and good and hopeful and powerful message of change. And this message is being promised by God himself beforehand. And now he has accomplished it. Not only in me coming to you to preach the gospel, but in me knowing Christ personally, says Paul, as we know that Paul met Christ in the road to Damascus. So Paul is saying God fulfills his word, and he has done it now. That's another reason why we preach the gospel. Because God has promised. God has promised that he will finish this work in us. So take hope. Take hope. God has promised that he will work in your heart. God has promised that if you believe in Jesus Christ, alone. And you believe that He Himself is God as He descended from heaven. And you believe that He died for your fault and your error and your sin and your unrighteousness. And you believe that by that death, He pays the bill, the penalty of sin. And you believe that you will be delivered because of that payment already being done by Him. Sufficient, eternal. Then God will complete His work in you. He will change eternally the destiny of your soul, and He will change also, presently, the condition of your affection, the condition of your heart. Why? To announce the miraculous gospel of God. Because it is the miraculous power of God. It is the majestic person of God. It is the relentless passion of God. And it is the unbreakable promise of God. Paul went to visit the church in Rome. Very much like L.A. Even very much alike like Mexico City. 22 million people live in my city. 30 million lived within the entire empire of the Roman world. Only 4 million in the city, the actual city of Rome. How many million do we have in L.A.? About 6? L.A. today, San Fernando Valley, very much like the city of Rome. Open to all kinds of religions. The Romans would say, you know, we'll just take the Greek gods and give them Latin names. It's not what today the society does. We'll just take whatever idea and just accommodate it to our own culture. That sounds good. We'll just do it our way. We live in a land of opportunity where God has brought all these nations together. And I mean it in the spiritual sense of profit, not in the economic sense of profit, obviously. We live in a land of opportunity in which God has brought all the nations together here, as He has done also in the city of Rome in the past. He has done it now here in L.A. And all these peoples from all different backgrounds and different nations, open. All we need to do is just go out and announce it. And we have talked a whole lot. This is what we'll be concluding here this morning. I appreciate that you're very patient with my accent at times and my lack of proper vocabulary. I really do. I wish I could just don't have that problem still, but I still do. Just hope God will help me. We have discussed, we have looked into the Word of God here. We have studied this morning. Why to preach the miraculous gospel of God. Remember this. The activity of preaching, the work of preaching, is not at all only related to an act of lifting up your voice and screaming at people. The core of what preaching means is this: an attitude, an act in which we witness a message that has been given to us. And by that action of witnessing, by that action of delivering a message that has been given to us, we place all responsibility upon who has been giving us this message. This is God. In other words, as we place the responsibility upon God, we also take the authority of God to declare it. To preach the gospel could also mean sit down and have coffee with someone and in the authority of God declare this to be truth. You declare the gospel to the people and tell them, I'm going to announce to you, I'm not going to yell at you here because you're right in front of me. We have some coffee. And I'm going to declare to you this authoritative word. This is the whole issue, the bottom line. The core of what preaching means go out and preach the gospel and declare the message of God. Because it is the power of God. It is the person of God. It is God's passion for the nations. And it is the promise of God that He has already fulfilled. You don't have to raise your voice, but be confident in faith as the power of the gospel is revealed by faith and through faith to those that believe. Right? Confidence behind your Bible in the power of the Spirit of God. Declare to the people and tell them this. God has come to this planet to meet with you personally in spirit. As you would believe in Him, as you would embrace His person, as you would yield your life to Him, and you would know this to be true. That there's no way you can have a relationship with Him unless your sin is removed by what Christ has done on the cross. You have hope. You have the opportunity to know God personally. But there's only one way in which and how the Holy God of the universe can meet with us, horrible sinners. And that is by what Christ has done. He came as a humble servant to be crushed so that we can have access to the Father and be forgiven and be adopted and be used and be changed and be transformed and become agents, just like Paul, bond servants of Jesus Christ, to announce the gospel of God to all the nations. For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. Hope of all the nations. Let's pray. Father God, I thank You for Your goodness, Lord. We believe with all our hearts, Lord, that You have done the impossible, Lord. God, You have done the impossible. You alone can do this, Lord. There's no way we can change. There's no way we can change our current affection, our current heart, our current life. And there's no way whatsoever that we could change our current destiny, the destiny of our spirit, of our soul. Only You can do that, Lord. And now, we know that You have done it through Your Son, Jesus Christ. That we are so grateful that You chose to humble Your precious and glorious Son, God. We are beyond grateful that You have done that for the benefit of more sinners like us. Oh God, we need You. We are needy people, Lord. We are so grateful, Lord, that You have now given us Your person inside of us. Your Spirit, Lord, inside of us. The sealing dwelling within us, Your very Spirit, Lord, that changes everything. We desire that He will take over the life of our mind as we plan our future, as we aspire for new things. We desire Him to change us completely in the mind and in the heart, so that by Your power we receive from You a new affection, a new passion. All this because we believe that You are able to keep Your promise. And You will, Lord, as You have done already, fulfill Your promise by sending the long-awaited Messiah to deliver and to save this wicked generation of those who believe. Oh God, I pray that as we go out in our daily lives, You will prepare hearts, starting with us. Have us, Lord, remain in the spirit of prayer constantly. As we drive down the street, as we go to school, as we go to work, that we'll have us pray. Lord, prepare the hearts of those that You want me to speak today. And have me declare Your message with authority. Not because it's mine, not because it's something that I have subscribed to, but because it is Your glorious and eternal message for men to believe. Oh God, I pray that you will instill within this congregation a wonderful passion, God, that many, starting with George, like Paul, will desire to see the face of others, not only in fellowship for the purposes of a communion, but, Lord, for the purposes of what Paul has explained here, the preaching of the gospel. Oh, Lord, pray that you will use that for your great glory. Change us, God. Change us. In the name of Jesus. Amen.